Whistleblower Report, exposing lies, deceptions, and all that has assaulted our way of life. We must take back our freedom and live as God designed in a free America that honors our Constitution and our Creator. Our experts in medicine, ministry, law, military, environment, and education empower us to grow together as a nation. For such a time as this, the Whistleblower Report offers truth and solutions. Welcome to the Whistleblower Report. This is Dr. Lee for America, and I'm here with Major Michael Gary, U.S. Army Seaburn Officer and Director of Truth for Health Foundation's Medicine and Ministry Program. And today we wanted to be talking about what are the implications and biblical significance of this upcoming solar eclipse on April 8th, 2024. This eclipse will cross over cities in the United States named Nineveh. There are actually seven in the United States and one in Canada named Nineveh. What is the biblical significance of that? And how does it relate to biblical prophecy? Now, as it turns out, the path of totality of the April 8th eclipse only covers two of these cities named Nineveh. But if you broaden the path of the eclipse, not counting areas of totality, it does pass over all of them. Is this a warning to America? Is it a symbol of God's judgment coming? And what was the significance of Nineveh in the Bible? Nineveh was set to be destroyed for their wicked ways. And at the last minute, the people of Nineveh repented, turned back to the Lord, and were spared. Is that a biblical message for America? We'll explore these questions and many more. But what I also want to point out is that there has been a great deal of fear-mongering about this eclipse. Forecast of communications disruption and flight delays. I mean, the fear-mongering has been over the top about all the catastrophic things that are likely to occur as the result of this solar eclipse. America, we've had solar eclipses in the past. Never have we had communications disruptions, flight delays, or any of the bad things that the media is suddenly harping on. We have not declared a state of emergency in the past. This is all fear-mongering to cover up other nefarious agendas. We may face a cyber attack. We've just seen evidence of that with the Francis Scott Key Bridge collapse, and that is many intelligence experts are calling a cyber attack on the computer systems controlling the Dolly as the largest one of, you know, the container ship. We've also just had 75 million AT&T customers' data stolen in the AT&T cyber attack, which the media lied and AT&T lied and said it was a computer glitch. All of these are lies covering up the reality that we are facing asymmetric warfare with China, Iran, perhaps Russia, and perhaps other state actors, and perhaps even our own government, as well as Israeli intelligence. All the way around, we're under attack. The border invasion diseases coming across the border, threats of a new pandemic, disease X, all the fear mongering about that, all the fear mongering about currency collapse, cyber attacks, and now blaming it all on the solar eclipse. So let's get real. Let's look at what really happens in a solar eclipse, which is not all of the dire things that have been forecast in the media talking heads. And quite frankly, all of these media talking heads that are spewing this fear-mongering are just shills for the government narrative that we've been seeing for the last 4 years. Turn them off. Don't listen to them. Just ignore it. Our advice: spend April the 8th in prayer, fasting, and repenting, and praying that God will heal our land of the evil and the debauchery and the descent into depravity that makes Sodom and Gomorrah look like kindergarten by comparison to what we're seeing today. I mean, we just saw evidence of that with this absolutely insulting, humiliating mocking of Christianity with Biden administration blatantly declaring Easter Sunday a day to focus on transgender visibility. All of this is by design to mock the world's Christians, to mock America's founding Judeo-Christian principles, to mock people of faith. It's all Alinsky's Rules for Radicals Playbook 101. They are just pulling out all the stops, mocking everything of value in America: the military, the churches, our faith traditions, our religious holidays, all of it. Don't buy into it. Turn back to our Lord God as outlined in 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, get on their knees and pray and repent of their sins, I will heal their land. That is the message to focus on April 8th and every other day that we are blessed to be alive on this earth. So that's my open, and now we will talk about what is the biblical significance of this eclipse, and is there a warning to America? America needs to repent for the hand that we have had as a nation in carrying out the division of the Holy Land, God's covenant land, and in the role that we've had in killing the unborn, in all of the ways that we have mocked God and engaged in debauched behavior that is strictly forbidden in the Old and New Testament, the entire Judeo-Christian biblical traditions are being mocked at every turn. And America needs to repent for that. God does precede his forthcoming judgment by sending warnings. And he warns time and time again. He is looking for repentance. And we'll be talking about how does the story of Jonah play into what we're seeing tonight. Major Gary, as a student of biblical prophecy, will be talking about the sign of Jonah and how the story of Jonah has a lot of relevance for us today. So thank you all for joining us. Major Gary, thank you for all of your contributions to our work with Truth for Health Foundation and to our whistleblower reports. We look forward to your perspectives on this.
Well, thank you very much, Dr. Vliet. I appreciate it. And I think you hit it pretty good, that this country needs to make a choice. I feel like right now that we're at the climax of having to choose a side on this. And I guess that's the sense of urgency that we have, especially amongst the body of Christ, that it is time to repent. And that's what the sign of Jonah is in its simplicity. But we'll get into that a little more a little later. But from my personal perspective, I've been looking at the signs in the sky very intently for the last 10 years. And it all started off with that phenomenon of the tetrad of the blood moons. And you may remember that back in the 2014, 2015 timeframe. This is at the end of the second term of the Obama administration, when this country was really starting to go downhill pretty quick. And people could feel it. And you know it because people were whispering in the workplace because you could feel this oppression coming in on you. And what was interesting about those four blood moons is they took place on Jewish holidays. And as a student of biblical prophecy, I know to look at Israel as God's time clock. And that's how I look at it. And you see that their feasts are set to certain times or to the signs, which are the sun, moon, and the stars. That's how their calendar is set up. It's set up in a very unique way to do things at certain times. And the whole Passover, April 15th of 2014, was the first blood moon. And then the second one was on the Feast of Tabernacles, which was 8 October of 2014. And then again on Passover of 2015, which was April 4th. And then Feast of Tabernacles again, September 28th of 2015, which, if I remember correctly, I believe that's when the Pope came over and I was on a mission down in Philadelphia where President Obama met the Pope. And I thought that was eerie. A lot of the times the moon was covered up in clouds, so I could not actually see the sign at the time, but I was watching intently, and there was actually a lot of people that were interested in those. And then a couple of years down the road, we would have the 2017 eclipse. I think it was August 21st of 2017 eclipse. And so these are very important things because the God hangs the sun and the moon up there for signs and for seasons. And that's what he says in Genesis 1:14. So we should be watching these things and not fearing them because God says right there that they're for signs. And so for us, for America, I believe there is so much symbolism in what's going on up in the sun, moon, and stars. That's one of the reasons why I think they try to cloud up the sky with all this geoengineering so you can't see God's signs, because this is how he another way that he communicates with us in mass. So in 2017, I thought it was quite interesting that when President Trump took office and laid his hand on the Bible and did the verbal oath in front of everybody that January of 2017, he was 70 years old, 7 months and 7 days. 777.
Oh, that's interesting. I did not know that. And seven is the biblical number of perfection and healing.
Yeah. And so, I mean, to me, my life is about what God is doing. God's a very active player in my life. So to find something like that means a lot to me. For me to check into a politician or a businessman at that time and to actually look into what he stands for, and then to find something like that emphasizes why I made my choice correctly, and see, that's how God talks back and forth with us with things like that. But there's a lot more. I have a lot more to reveal here about all the symbology that's going on. And I'm kind of surprised with just kind of talking with local friends and family here recently of the Christian types that aren't tracking the sign of Jonah in the eclipse on April 8th. And so April 8th, which is the fourth month, eighth day, right? So if you go to Exodus 4:8, okay, and verse 8 says this. So again, this is Exodus 4:8. It says this. Then it will be, if they do not believe you, nor hear the message of the first sign, that they may believe the message of the latter sign. Okay, so if they didn't believe the 2017 eclipse, then maybe they will believe the 2024 eclipse. So I felt that was incredible because not many people were tracking the full national eclipse in 2017, but there's a lot more interest in this 2024 eclipse. So in America has always been looked at as like a country that escaped slavery, trying to get its religious freedom. So that's why Exodus means so much to this country. And the Great Seal of Moses is actually in the House chamber in the Capitol building. And so there is so much Exodus and Moses symbology also with what's going on in these eclipses, because America is like a picture of the children of Israel escaping bondage. So there's another.
Well, there's that. But remember, there's something else interesting. There's a lot more hype and fear mongering about this eclipse, because in 2017, there was no COVID pandemic that had hit us. Everybody was looking at the eclipse as simply an astronomical event and looking at what was happening in the solar system as a natural phenomenon. Nobody was trying to make it out to be a fear-mongering event, which is the tactic they've been using for the last 4 years.
And I think at this point, there's been so many things that have gone tragically wrong over the COVID time that people are actually looking for something and they're searching. And I do believe they're searching for God at this point, because there's been so many failures of man in the last 3 years. So when you look at Matthew 12, verses 38 through 42, Christ is going back and forth with the Pharisees. And this scripture here is where he's talking with the Pharisees. He had just cast out some demons out of some people. And the Pharisees saw this, and they're trying to make him out to be one that follows Beelzebub, which is another way of saying Satan or the devil. And then Christ goes back and forth with them. So then the Pharisees ask for a sign after they get through that. And Christ says this: "Then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, 'Teacher, we want to see a sign from you.' But he answered and said to them, 'An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah.'" And that's the important part there. "And indeed, a greater than Jonah is here. The queen of the south will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And indeed, a greater than Solomon is here." And then again in Matthew 16, the Pharisees and the Sadducees are seeking a sign. This one's really good. It starts in verse 1 here of chapter 16. "Then the Pharisees and the Sadducees came and, testing him, asked that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said to them, 'When it is in the evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and threatening. Hypocrites, you know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times.'" Discerning the signs of the times, important. "A wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign shall be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. And then he departed." So Christ is very serious about making the point, the sign of Jonah, which I have come to believe is judgment, death, burial, resurrection, and then the final stage, which is the part that we can do, that we have an effect on, is repentance. And that's what I've come to as a conclusion, Dr. Vliet, in looking at this, and I am incredibly hopeful what's going on, especially as we turn into our calendar year 2024. And I here's another pastor. This was done on 30 January 2024. This is the opening of Congress, our National Congress. And this was the prayer. It's labeled "The Prayer Heard Around the World." Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel dared to pray a biblically based prayer in Congress, which enraged many atheists and liberals across the nation, calling for the Speaker of the House to change the vetting process for guest chaplains. So what did he do? What did he mention in his prayers? He mentioned a great awakening of righteousness and forgiveness of national sin. And he also closed in Jesus' name. So there's
Beautiful.
lot of people
That
that are
is the
tracking.
tradition of this country.
Yes. So there is, this has been put on the hearts and minds of many about repentance. I know when you and I were talking about the Josiah Manifesto not too long ago, it made me look into Jonathan Cahn's book, The Harbinger 2, which in that book, he was talking about during the Civil War time frame where Abraham Lincoln declared a national day of prayer and repentance, and it took place April 30th of 1863. And again, that was a split nation. I'm sure not everybody participated in that. Certainly the South didn't, because that was the North proclaiming that. But it turned the tide for the North. From then on, we would have the Gettysburg victory and then so on. It turned the tide in that. And that can be done here. That's what the whole message of the Book of Jonah is about. There is a way to change things by getting down on your hands and knees and repenting. So I have a couple other interesting little facts about April 8th that would have meaning to us in this nation and as Christians in this nation. Between 21 August of 2017 and 14 December of 2020, which is the day the first shot went into somebody's arm, 14 December 2020, that's 1,211 days. Now, from that day, 14 December of 2020, to April 8th of 2024, it is 1,211 days. The shots first going into somebody's arm is directly in the middle of both eclipses. The new
That's
modern.
really interesting. What do you make of that?
Well, to me, I feel like we're at the climax of choosing, and I'm going to choose to repent, and everybody that brother and sister in Christ should do the same. And I think there is going to be a change in our lives from, again, there's going to be squirrely moments in the nation around us, but I truly believe that we're going to be walking out of this period, this shaking period. Judge, in a way, to me, we've been in a judgment. A national judgment has been going on and allowed on this nation. And that was intended by God for a reason, to actually shake people and get them serious about their belief in Him. And many have come to Christ in this time. It's hard to know exact numbers. And again, everybody's so split and isolated still, to some degree, but there has been many people, souls come to Christ in this time, and that's what this is all about. Moving on, the Madrid fault line is directly on the crossing of the two of the two solar eclipses, the one in 2017 and the one in 2024. I mean, they almost overlay perfectly to the X of the New Madrid fault line. So that is something definitely to keep your eyes on.
And the significance of that,
Well, there would
as
be,
you think about it.
well, I would be watching for more signs, because God can use other things as signs, like earthquakes and volcanoes and things like that. Now, just because the body of Christ repents doesn't mean judgment is completed on others or the nation yet, So these are other things to be watchful or mindful of. I find it incredibly interesting that this eclipse enters Eagles Pass, Texas. I mean, it goes right, the middle of it goes right over Eagles Pass, Texas, right where we're having the massive illegal invader problem in this country. I mean, that's a sign to me right there. And then it exits through Holton, Maine area. And then, of course, like you said, it crosses over all the Nineveh cities, which is awesome. It also crosses over Jonah, Texas. It crosses over a Rapture, Indiana. But the two eclipses intersect at Little Egypt. It's a town called Carbondale, Illinois, which it's known as Little Egypt. So I find that incredible, that the symbology. And then one pastor even dug down. So if you could actually go to the ground level and actually see where it intersects, the street it intersects on is Salem. And of course, the 2017 eclipse had the seven Salems that it crossed over. So there's all this symbology. Now, I know a lot of people can dismiss this and say, yeah, these are just common names that we see everywhere. But again, there's a symbol in that. America was founded with Jesus Christ in the Bible in mind. And naturally, a lot of cities and towns and other things would be labeled with biblical names. This is also a reminder to this nation, the body of Christ, of who we were and who we need to go back to being. So that's ultimately where I think this comes full circle around is who we were and who we need to go back to, you know, and that God gave us so much blessing back during the founding that carried us through. Now we've hit a fever pitch moment where there's only one thing left to do, which is to repent.
No, I think that's exactly right. And I think that there has been such depravity and debauchery taking over our entire culture that we really, I do believe, are under God's judgment with warnings. I think the destruction of our culture, the loss of life, I think all of this has been a warning from God. So let's talk further about all of this in the second half of the show. This is Dr. Lee for America with the Whistleblower Report, the biblical significance of the 2024 April 8th solar eclipse. And what should America be doing on April 8th, 2024? Check out our website, truthforhealth.org, and all of our resources, including our new nutraceuticals, exclusive professional formulas manufactured under compliant, certified, good manufacturing practices to the highest quality standards possible, and aimed at improving your health and resilience. So check it out, www.truthforhealth.org. We'll be right back after the break.
We live in a world full of disinformation, lies, and deceit, often from those institutions and individuals that we used to rely on and trust. In the chaos that surrounds us on a daily basis, it's difficult to find a place for truthful information and helpful guidance. Where can we turn for honest answers, critical solutions, and information that empowers us to be the person that God intended? The Truth for Health Foundation. The Truth for Health Foundation works every day to fight for your basic human rights. We have a track record of providing life-saving emergency actions that can improve your health and empower you with the tools to be safe, happy, and free to live your life. With over 100,000 supporters around the world, we are a critical voice of truth in today's world. We invite you to join our community of financial supporters so that we can continue to be your trusted partner for health, for life, for resilience. Join us today by giving now.
This message is from the Truth for Health Foundation. Hi, I'm Dr. Sam Sigaloff, a family medicine physician and a major in the U.S. Army. The following are only my opinions. Service members are being coerced to participate in medical experimentation, with over 7,500 service members being discharged for refusing to participate, many of them losing their retirement and medical benefits. There are allegations that the DoD is committing medical fraud, violating the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, and violating constitutional rights of service members. Strong men and women stand ready to defend so that you can sleep peacefully through the night. Now we must stand watch over the military so they can sleep peacefully through the night. Please get involved to help protect the military. This message brought to you by the Truth for Health Foundation. For more information, please visit truthforhealth.org. That's truthforhealth.org. That's truthforhealth.org.
Welcome back to the second half of the Whistleblower Report. This is Dr. Lee for America with Major Michael Gary, U.S. Army Seaburn Officer and Director of Medicine and Ministry for Truth for Health Foundation, as well as a student of biblical prophecy. So, Major Gary, what are some of the other biblical connections that you have put together about this 2024 solar eclipse?
Yeah, no, thank you, Dr. Vliet. Yeah, I have quite a few more. Of course, a lot of people have been noting, if you were to lay a map down of the country and where these two solar eclipses go, one is they make an X, right? Or a Tav, which is the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet, a Tav. There's a couple different ways to write it, but the oldest known way is it looks like a T or a cross, the Tav. So it's the last letter of the alphabet. Now, if you were to include the annual solar eclipse that happened in 14 October of 2023, which kind of went down from California across Texas, and if you overlay that one, it makes like an A, which is in the Hebrew is an Aleph. So that's their first letter in their alphabet. So you have their first letter and their last letter in the Hebrew alphabet, which make an Aleph and a Tav, or a Alpha and Omega in the Greek. Okay, so which ties directly right into Revelation 22, verse 13. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Again, another sign. This is all about Christ reminding us who he is, that he's in control of this. He's allowed these things, you know, in our country because of our own free will. He's allowed these certain things to happen. Some other interesting things is not far from Little Egypt, Illinois, is this massive cross. It's called Bald Knob Cross of Peace. It's 111 feet tall. It's pure white. You cannot miss this thing. So it's not far from the intersection of the 2017 eclipse and the 2024 eclipse. So it's you can't miss this. Also back down in Texas, not far from Eagle Pass, is another massive cross. So where it enters in Texas, there's a massive cross, which has it's hollowed out in the center. So it's not a solid cross. It's just an outline of one, but it's massive. So at the beginning and in the intersection is two massive crosses. Again, the symbology here, you can't miss it. When people gather in Little Egypt, they're going to see the big cross. You know, there's going to be probably crowds of people at that cross because it's quite a wide open area to see the eclipse. So I just find these things incredible. Now, at the same time, we're talking about Little Egypt. There's this massive cicada broods that are going to overlap. It's the first time in like 200 plus years, 221 years, that these broods of cicadas are going to hatch out at the same time. And they're talking about trillions of them. So if they had to pick like a middle point, it would be like the Little Egypt or the intersection of the solar eclipses where all these broods of cicadas will hatch out. And again, reminds us of the biblical 10 plagues of Egypt during the Exodus. So, you just can't miss these things. They have so much meaning. Again, the meaning is that this country was founded with Jesus Christ in mind. So, I mean, now moving on to like Jonah specifically and why he is so important, why this is the message of the moment, why this is the sign of Jonah is the only sign that this generation gets, which is us moving forward after Christ completed his mission on the cross, the sign of Jonah. Jonah is the funny thing about prophets is quite often when there's a book in the Bible about the prophet, the prophet is living out a parable of his own. And Jonah is certainly doing that. Likewise, Jonah shares a lot of things in common with Jesus. They both slept during the storm on a ship. And when they awoke, they had to deal with the storm. So Christ made the storm go away. Jonah was cast out into the ocean to make it go away. That's what had to happen there. But regardless, both of them stopped the storms, okay, because of the action they took. And then 3 days, 3 nights in darkness, for Jonah in the whale or the fish, and then for Christ in the depth of the earth. Both were willing to make a sacrifice to save Israel. So there's a lot of things in common between Jonah, and he was a picture of Christ to come, or at least the story of Jonah was a picture of the Messiah to come. So that's how I'd like to open up with this. And the book is, like I said earlier, is about the judgment, burial, resurrection, and then repentance, peace. And then Jonah opens like this. He opens with the chapter 1, verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So, opening up here, we have a prophet that does not want to do what God has told him to do. And if you go into Kings, 2 Kings 14, 25, you'll realize that Jonah was set aside for King Jeroboam II in Israel. And he played a massive role as a very good prophet for the 10 northern tribes of Israel. So he was well known and delivered the word of the Lord and had a great reputation. However, this time he did not do what God told him to do. So the question is, why? Well, he didn't like the Ninevites and then the Assyrians, which is that's who their people would be. And they were at war with Israel, the northern tribes, again, a split kingdom at this time. But Jonah also knew, he may have known this at this moment when he chose not to follow the word of the Lord, that God was merciful. And he was also would give grace to the Ninevites. And that may have been a reason why he ran from the Lord. So I find that kind of interesting how that opens up in
Well,
the fact.
I did too. I read the story of Jonah recently, and I thought so too. And it's really interesting when you stop and think about it, how God uses reluctant witnesses for his purposes and gets our attention whether we are on board or not from the outset. I've experienced a little bit of that in my own life in smaller ways.
Yeah, exactly. But regardless, he gets on the ship. He starts to head as far the other direction as he possibly can go, which they, you know, listening to a lot of different people at the time, it was kind of like the end of the known world, Tarshish, to cross the Mediterranean to head west, to go exactly the opposite direction. And it's funny that this is the point where he gets on the ship and he goes down into the ship and falls asleep and is dead asleep while the storm starts beating on the crew and the ship. And so the captain came to him and said to him, "What do you mean, sleeper? Arise, call on your God." So they had done everything they could, the crew had, to take control of the ship. Now they're in the hands of the gods. So they've called upon their gods. Now they go down and get Jonah and have him call upon his God. "Perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish." I mean, this is really dire. The fact that they will wake everybody up on the ship to have them call out to their gods. So anyway, they asked Jonah. They also cast lots, and then the lot ends up on Jonah. So Jonah has to explain himself. So he said to them, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." And so it's interesting also to note that he calls himself a Hebrew, which would be the United Tribes of Israel, which would include Judah and Israel, the 10 northern tribes. So he calls himself a Hebrew going back to an older time because he still has hope that there would be unification of them. So, and he said to them, "Pick me up." So after he explains this, he tells the crew to pick him up and throw him into the sea. "Then the sea will become calm for you, for I know that this great tempest is because of me," because he didn't do the right thing. and then God would provide another way. So if Jonah's not going to do it God's way, there would be another way. And that way would be by a whale or fish that would swallow him. And then I don't believe in this, that any time was lost, that this fish would move them north up the Mediterranean coast of Israel up to Syria area and spit them out. What's interesting to note is through this, though, casting him into the sea, the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice to the Lord, and they took vows to the Lord. So this is the ship's crew. Once they threw Jonah in and the storm calmed, their, you know, Jonah's God became their God. They took vows to him. So it's awesome how God uses these events. And I think this is happening in our country right now. These events, which are not fun to live through, are waking people up. And there's a lot of opportunity to spread the gospel. So this was one example of it here in Jonah already. The ship's crew has now understood that the Hebrew God is the creator God, the God of all. So moving on into the belly of the fish, "Out of the belly of Sheol I cried," says Jonah. So he's inside the fish. Sheol is another word for inside the earth. It's kind of like a holding place in the Old Testament. If you're there, you're dead. So I tend to follow the belief that Jonah died inside the fish and that his prayer from Sheol is what brought him out. And this is why right here, the earth, he said, Jonah's saying this in his prayer, "The earth with its bars closed behind me forever," forever, the bars closed. "Yet you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord, my God." So because of those phrases, I tend to think that he had expired. He had an out-of-body experience, whatever you want to call it, and that there was truly a death and a burial, per se, in the sea of Jonah, to be just like the one we would see down the road with Jesus Christ. So anyway, the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah up onto dry land, which I tend to think he didn't lose any time. He's still on track to deliver God's message right when God wants him to. And then when he walks into Nineveh, I can only imagine All right. So I think this plays a big role in it. These are Dagon. The god Dagon is who they worship, which is a fish god. All right. So the fact that he possibly would, it was known that he was vomited out of this fish probably meant something to them. Now, another thing I should mention here is that there was a well-known eclipse in 763 BC in June timeframe, which probably most likely preceded Jonah. So you can imagine, as well as Dagon, the fish god, being the primary god, they probably worshiped the sun too and all these other pantheon of gods. So you can only imagine that seeing the sun blot out probably meant a sign of judgment for the Ninevites. And then all of a sudden, you have this prophet, which Jonah was well known, walk in who looks like a singed, bleached, because I'm picturing stomach acids on a man's body and his hair white. Maybe when the sun shone on him, he had a white appearance, almost like an angel or a god to some effect. So when he walked into that city and said, then he cried out and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So this is the prophecy he delivers, or the message. He says, you're going to be overthrown. So this is the only place I know in the Bible that a prophet delivers a message that does not come to pass. And I think this is incredibly important. The only other place is maybe like the cross itself, when Christ hangs on the cross and there's that exchange of taking our sins. So this is why I think this story is incredibly unique, and everybody needs to go in and dig into it and realize that there is certain doom coming upon Nineveh, certain judgment coming, and there's nothing stopping it except one thing. The Ninevites s stop and repent immediately. The even the king drops what he's doing, dons sackcloth, and lays down in ashes. All the people of Nineveh, all the animals, everybody partakes in this great movement of repentance. And I don't think I've ever seen, I can't compare this to any other place in the Bible that this happens. This is so unique. And I think right now, if we're in a sign, the time of sign of Jonah, I think the believing body of Christ needs to do the same. We need to repent. And I think you're seeing more and more people say this word, national repentance, or at least the believing part of this nation needs to do that. And you're hearing it more and more. And I think that's a great thing. That is what changes things, is praying and repentance for whatever we've done. For a lot of people, that is standing on the sideline and not participating in your government or participating in your constitutional republic and your First Amendment. When you had the opportunity to stop the COVID tyranny, that is one place maybe you need to repent of that. You know? So,
Well,
and
I think there are so many areas for all of us to look at the need for repentance. And I do think that more people are focused on realizing the enormity of this spiritual battle between the forces of good and evil. And I think there has been so much assault on humanity that people more and more are becoming aware this is evil. And I don't think many of the mainstream Protestant churches have been confronting evil and its reality the way that they've needed to. But I think people are coming face to face with it now and having to confront it, whether the churches are doing so or not. Now, there are some pastors who have been calling for a National Day of Prayer and Repentance, and hopefully they will help make a difference.
yeah, so you know, if you go back to the opening verses that I started with, like Matthew 12, verses 38, when the Pharisees are challenging Jesus, I think we find a lot of our church leadership is actually the Pharisees, or has been in that role over the last handful of years, and they need to step out of that role and actually come on to the side that's right and repent of things. And so we don't want to be on that side. And so, interestingly, in Jonah chapter 3, verse 10, I kind of summarize it already, but I'll read it here. Then God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them. And he did not do it. I can't emphasize this enough, that he said he was going to destroy them. It was certainty. But he relented. This is the only place I've ever seen this in the Bible. May I could be wrong, but I just find it incredibly unique, especially if we're in the sign of Jonah. If that's our time, then we need to be looking at this, reading it, and actually digesting it and know what it, you know, down to our fabric of who we are, what it actually means. And then we find in Jonah, because probably Jonah, as a prophet, he knows that Assyria will destroy Israel down the road, which it's about 40 years later, and that does happen. Sennacherib comes across and takes away the 10 northern tribes. So Jonah is angry at this. He's incredibly angry because he wanted to see them destroyed. So he goes up on the cliffs, he sets up there, and he waits to watch to see what happens. But he also knows that God is graceful and merciful. And that's maybe why he didn't go in the first place. So he sets up there and watches, and the sun's beating on him, and a little weed grows above him, shades him, and then he's happy as he's waiting to see if God will destroy them. And then a worm comes along and eats the weed. The weed falls over. Jonah becomes angry, extremely angry. Then God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry about the plant?" And he said, "Is it right for me to be angry even to death?" And so anyway, the book ends in this really weird way of a question. You have to contemplate how did Jonah actually end up? We don't know how Jonah actually ended up, except for we do know that Jonah's tomb was there in Nineveh. And it was there until 2014, until ISIS destroyed it. So only very recently had Jonah's tomb in Nineveh been destroyed, which I think was a planned thing. But so this brings to light the fact that I believe that Jonah eventually repents of his obstinance with God, and he actually has a change of heart, and he remains there with the Ninevites. That's my thoughts on this. Because of his tomb, obviously. And only recently did it get destroyed by ISIS. So I thought that was kind of interesting how that remained for thousands of years. And then only recently, within our last 10 years, did his tomb get destroyed. So I think that's significant, too.
Well, I would agree with you. And I think that so many of the things that you brought out related to this eclipse give us food for thought. And I would encourage everyone who hasn't read the story of Jonah recently to go back and read it and look at the parallels between the symbolism of Jonah and the 3 days in the belly of the whale and Jesus and the 3 days in the tomb before his resurrection. Many parallels there as well, as we've just come through celebrating Resurrection Sunday and the fact that Jesus Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. And therein lies the hope for our future and our faith over fear as we stand strong in faith against the fear-mongering in the media. Major Gary and I urge all of you to make a commitment to spend April the 8th with time for prayer and fasting and repentance. And prayers, pray the scripture, Second Chronicles, chapter 7, verse 14, and pray for the healing of our land. But first, we must get on our knees, humble ourselves, and repent. Major Gary, thank you for all the work that you put into bringing these biblical connections to light and all of the leadership that you provide in our medicine and ministry program, in the work that you and I are committed to doing to focus on strengthening our faith during times of adversity. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
It's really an honor to have your biblical scholarly discussions joining the medical and the political and economic and psychological and all of the things that we're dealing with, bringing in the spiritual battle and ways to strengthen people's faith is the cornerstone of our work with Truth for Health Foundation. So thank you for strengthening our work and encouraging others to go back to the Bible, the source of all of our truth. This is Dr. Lee for America with Truth for Health Foundation and the Whistleblower Report. Thank you for joining us. Check out our website, www.truthforhealth.org, and stay tuned for another Whistleblower Report. Thank you for joining us today.